You know, I always like to take this opportunity to talk about myself.
Woo!
Looking man, the best dressed man. You know why? Woo, because my name's Ric Flair.
Woo!
Hello and welcome back finally to the newest episode of Indie Wrestling Radio. I am the sly one, Jordan Fox, and with me as always is the man, Floyd Johnson Jr. Floyd, what's happening, bro?
Man, I am well rested. I had 4 days off, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and I just went back to work last night. But, you know, after the 4 days off, I came in, you know, swinging, a little more alert than I usually am. And, you know, and then, you know, Sunday technically would have been my last day off, and I got to watch some great wrestling. We're going to talk about it in a minute. And it was just a good weekend. I saw three movies. They were all good. You know, usually when you get to the three or four movie mark, sometimes you get a dud. No, we're all good. Yeah, it's good. Just been a good time.
That's awesome, man. I'm glad to hear you had that many days off. Dude, we've been doing the show together for 6 months probably?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I've ever heard you say that you've had more than 2 days off in a row.
Dude, usually the only time I take more than 2 days off is for a wrestling event.
Yeah.
I mean, so...
That's true. I guess probably the last time you had 4 days off, me and you were together in Chicago.
Yeah, when we were all in. But yeah, if it's not for wrestling, I don't take a lot of days off. In the month of November, I took 1 day off.
Oh, wow.
I took one day off in the month of November. And people always ask, how do you afford to go to those events and things like that? I don't take a lot of days off.
Right,
you know, I work
right.
A lot. I work a lot, so I can still pay my normal bills and still get to go travel and see the world. So
right. You know, well, I dig it.
It's earned, not given, baby.
Well, real quick, you know, everyone that listens to the show, you know, we have just over 3,100 people that listen to the show on a daily basis. So I just wanted to address the people that listen on a daily basis real quick. So as everyone knows, you know, we do a show 5 days a week. We do at least anywhere from 45 to 90 minutes, 5 days a week, you and I do. We've dedicated, you know, basically our lives to professional wrestling and this show and Around the Ring that you and Ryan do together on a weekly basis that's usually over 2 hours long. So, you know, we dedicate our lives to this, but, you know, we haven't done a show in over a week. And I just wanted to let everyone know, you know, we've had, you know, multiple things pop up, and that's why we haven't been here. You know, as our third member of the team, Marvelous Mike Moore, his dad suddenly and unexpectedly passed away, so please, everyone's prayers to Marvelous Mike and his family in this trying time. You know, then both of us, you know, had some stuff that we were dealing with. As everyone knows, you know, I deal with opiate addiction that I'm actually 1 year clean and sober as of yesterday, so that was a big accomplishment of mine, and, you know, a big...
Congratulations, dude. Very proud of that.
Thank you, man.
Getting that under... You got that... under control. I know it's a struggle every day, but a year, man, let's celebrate.
I know,
celebrate,
man.
Celebrate the wins, baby.
Yeah, baby. I appreciate that very much, you know, and a lot of my addiction problems come from my time spent in Iraq, my time spent, on the airplane when I was a flight paramedic and as a firefighter paramedic and stuff like that. So, you know, I deal with some PTSD, I deal with depression and stuff. And I've, you know, had a couple of, flare ups here recently, and that caused me to miss a couple of days of work here on the show. But we had multiple people write in and, you know, just asking us, you know, making sure everything was good with Jordan and Floyd and everything. And so I just want to, you know, I wanted to be upfront with everybody and tell everyone, you know, the honest reason why I had to miss a couple of days. And that's, you know, because, you know, I was a little down and out, and I just didn't feel like, with me dealing with, you know, a bout of heavy depression and, you know, some of my PTSD problems and stuff, I didn't feel like I could give 100% to the show. So I told Floyd, I was like, hey, man, I need to, you know, take a few days off. And Floyd was like, hey, man, you do you, and, you know, just take care of yourself and stuff. And so I really do appreciate you, Floyd, with all, you know, with you being so supportive and stuff. And but yeah, man. I just wanted to tell everybody that, and then, you know, to end it on a good one, like you said, I did hit last night, was 1 year clean and sober. My wife and my in-laws surprised me with a camouflage 1 year of sobriety coin that you get at AA and NA. It was really cool, man, with a card and everything. They took me out to eat sushi. It was really awesome, man. It's been a long year. But it's been the best year of my life, being completely sober, not a drop of alcohol, not a single pain pill, nothing, man. So it was just absolutely awesome, man. Absolutely awesome. And then, you know, we hit it with some awesome wrestling, man. Some awesome wrestling on Sunday. So what did you think of the show as a whole at Heroes? What did you think about the venue? Everything. Give me a overall picture of you being live in the crowd, and then from there we will go. We will touch on some of the matches in particular.
Okay. I'm gonna throw some details out there for people, because in case you wanna ever come out. So it's a city called Roy City. Okay. If you're putting it in GPS, it's Southern Junction Live. Don't put in like the Southern Junction Steakhouse and bar, because that'll take you to Irving, Texas.
So, yeah, real quick, I want to add, so like I did not know that there was two venues until, like, you taught me something. I've been working for the promotion for I think five six months, and I never knew there was two venues. And apparently DCW, which we'll talk about them in the future, Dallas Championship Wrestling, is going to start running in that venue that you went to first. So there will be some wrestling in that venue here pretty soon, just not on the night that you went to it.
So, yeah, I leave here about 12, and I'm making great time, and I literally just put in the exact name and pick the top location, and I'll start rolling. And we get there, and I'm like, oh, dude, we roll up a building, empty. No cars, and I was like, we're in the wrong place. So I tweeted again. It was about 45 minutes away. We make it, and you know, we roll up into this clearly dusty kind of country bar kind of thing, dirt road, you know, kind of thing. And I walk in, don't know what to expect. I already got my general admission tickets. Dude, let me tell you, you want to talk about a perfect location to watch wrestling. So it's a country bar. It's a country bar.
Right.
But you got your front row seats, and the general admission is an actual like table, like you're about to have dinner. So you sit down there, the waitress comes up to you, you can put in your drinks, and your food is made to order. Now let me tell you, there's only two cooks and two waitresses, so you might wait a while, but once you wait a while, the food's amazing. One of the best burgers, like, you know, I like a nice greasy seasoned burger, so it's basically like a burger. You get the diner, home cut fries, you get your soda, and you're sitting there, and that's all happening with a ring about 20 feet away from you. Entrance is right there. The wrestlers are just walking around. Dirty Andy Dalton walks past me as soon as he comes in. You know, people are just walking around Will all day. They got their merchandise. It's just a very casual, relaxed environment. So you walk in, your first impression is like, oh, you honestly, it's like, what kind of wrestling you're gonna get, you know, because it's just so relaxed. You're like, oh, these, you know. Then you get it, and as soon as you got Mitch on, he's telling you to go sign up to give the toys away, and they're doing all sorts of giveaways. And he says, hey, wrestlers get to the back, the lights go down, and you're at a wrestling show. The fans are immediately into it. The lights are great. The sound is great. You know, I mean, you're in a wrestling show, and it's just like, it's would shock you that I could say that this is the perfect venue to watch wrestling. It's not a bad seat in the house. Like I said, you know, you can just, the bar's in the back. I mean, and it's just a regular bar, so you just go up to the bar, you know. You want a Long Island iced tea? I got a Corona. Got my boy Ryan a Bud Light. Very casual. Bring it back to the table. Sit down. We watch some wrestling.
That's really cool to hear you say, man. That's really awesome. It is a, like you said, there's not a bad seat in the house. You know what I mean? Like I was up. I'm up on commentary. With Nigel and Will Riggs, and it was our first night doing a three-man commentary team, and so like we're like up on the stage just in front of and below the hard cam, so we aren't seen on the hard cam. The hard cam is up and behind us, but we're a position where anytime any of the wrestlers look towards the hard cam, they're looking right at us, so we're kind of looking down onto the ring, and we can see everybody. You know, and so like right to my left, a line of sight, I could see you and Ryan, and yeah. I seen each one of y'all at different times, like react to a big move in the ring, and all the people around y'all. And there were some younger fans that were sitting in front of y'all and to the left, and they were way into the show, man. I was getting a kick out of them anytime there was a suplex or a belly to belly or a German suplex. They were like up out of their seats and stuff. It was really cool. But yeah, dude, no, they're in a bad seat in the house, like you said. And I've never ate the food there because we have a sponsor that brings
barbecue
in
the back,
yeah,
right?
Barbecue in the back. So, but dude, now you're making me want to have a burger from that joint, because I didn't even, to be honest, I didn't even know the burgers were on the menu and they were that good, huh?
Yeah, they were that good, you know, like fresh cooked, so you get it, and the burger's still kind of sizzling. It's on the bun, and that's really good. And it's like my personality when the take-in surveys is always that of a promoter. Like, if I don't like something, you will know about it. But if I do like something, you're going to know about it 10 times more. And I'm like, and let me tell you, I've got into my club, and I'm trying to make it like a club meetup for our group of friends, because Dallas is kind of centrally located, because we have people in Houston, we have people in San Antonio, people in Dallas, and me and people in Oklahoma City. It's about 4 hours from everybody. So it's like,
right,
dude.
Right.
Dude, if we can get the group together there, watch some wrestling, eat some food, drink some beers, you know, that's something we don't, it doesn't always have to be a Mania. It doesn't always have to be Elimination Chamber. You know, we can go support a local show, support local wrestlers. And let me tell you, I have friends that promote, and they like to use the big names, WWE, and I have no problem with that. But I always said, dude, get the young and the hungry people. They're going to put the better show on, you know?
Yep.
And everybody in that show performed. Everyone gave it their all. Of course, you know, some people might need a little bit more seasoning, but, you know, they haven't been doing it that long. But they are busting their ass trying to make their name, and, like, they grabbed my attention the whole match. I mean, there's going to be one match that I specifically talk about where they tore the house down, and it was just like, I would put it up against anything on the main roster as far as just pure, like, or NXT Raw as far as pure entertainment level. And guess what? I didn't need to know who they were, you know, like, intimately know who they were. They went out there and performed, and maybe first 5-10 minutes, they didn't have my attention, but after that, they grabbed it and didn't let go.
Right. I did. Yeah, dude, I totally, totally dig that. And, you know, something that's cool is seeing some of the wrestlers that are still, you know, in their first couple of years of wrestling, and watching them, because, you know, we, you know, our show, it's a monthly show. We have a weekly show on, you know, Facebook Live, on YouTube, and on the Dish Network Hopper. You know, it's a weekly show, but we, you know, we do the show off our monthly live events. And, you know, we have we have story, you know, fully entailed storylines and everything. So we have the same, the same wrestlers every month. And so it's become like a little family, and seeing the wrestlers grow and grow and grow, it's really awesome, because I feel like that I'm growing with them, because I don't have much time at all in the commentary booth. So I get to see these young and hungry wrestlers, and it's really cool watching them grow, because like I said, I'm trying to grow at the same time in commentary. I'm not even a wrestler yet. I still haven't graduated the academy. So I'm working every day. So I get to ask these young wrestlers, tips for me, like for instance, Chandler, the young gun Chandler Hopkins got there early just so me and him could have about 45 minutes of ring time. We didn't get in the ring the whole time. We talked about roles and stuff outside the ring. But man, I have to say, dude, Chandler got to the, because we talked a couple weeks ago, and he was like, yeah, man, he's like, I'll show up early and we'll do some work together. And dude, man, he sat there with me for about 45 minutes, and we just had detailed conversations about lucha rolls, forward rolls, back rolls, front bumps, back bumps, and quarter rolls. Just so cool, man. But and I got to give it up to Chandler. He's become a good friend of mine and everything. But yeah, like you said, some wrestlers needing more seasoning and stuff, but seeing them grow is so cool. And that's what we get to see. When you talk about on the big time, like NXT, that's what we're watching on NXT, is watching these wrestlers grow into what they're ultimately becoming. Right. And that's what we get to see at Heroes of Wrestling. We get to see wrestlers straight out of Booker T's school, straight out of MPX, and straight out of Compound out of Tulsa. And we get to see these wrestlers grow. And dude, they're seriously with some of the best wrestling the state of Texas, the state of Oklahoma has to offer. Sunday.
I can forgive nervousness. I can forgive botches. I can't forgive lack of effort. It's the reason, and anybody can bury me for any time you want to, but it's the reason I don't go to WWE house shows.
Right.
It's just sometimes you can feel like they're phoning it in. I know they get paid a lot of money. They got to work a lot of dates, but I paid my money, so I want to see your full effort.
Right, right.
And that's, I'm just like, I don't have to question that. I didn't have to question that at Heroes of Wrestling.
I know, man. It's so cool, dude. It makes you, it really does, and like I said, I have not been cleared to be in the ring yet, so I have not had my first match, but to see everyone putting on 110%, it feels like we're building something special there. And there was, Will said, the final tally was 394 people paid tickets, bought 394 tickets sold to Sunday's event. So you put that with a few comps and a few sponsors that got in, it was over 400 people at the venue, and it was packed, was it not? It felt like a big show, and
yeah,
And Will says it's our biggest show of the year.
Yeah, and it was just it was packed. There was kids, there was adults. They didn't have any smoking or anything. Even though there's alcohol, no one got crazy. It was just I feel comfortable inviting people there. You know what I mean?
For sure, for sure. First thing that I wanted to mention before we went into the matches was the Outlaw Randy Wayne, who is a stable of Heroes of Wrestling, is actually suspended right now. So he was up in, I think he was up in Michigan working a show. He had to take another booking because he was not allowed to come to this Heroes of Wrestling show because of some stuff he did. He's attacked. What all has he done in the last few weeks? He's attacked Fuego del Sol, and then Miranda Gordy, who is his manager. She's the daughter of Bam Bam Terry Gordy. They attacked senior referee Carl Knight. They had to be drug out by security. They've just been ravaging everyone and anyone that has anything to do with Heroes of Wrestling. So Will Riggs suspended them for 1 month. They're going to be back in January. So Randy was up working in, like I said, I think he was in Michigan, if I'm not mistaken. I'd have to look on Facebook. But I actually got to talk to Randy, and I asked him to be on the show and stuff. And backstage, he's always giving me noogies and swirlies and picking on me like I'm a little kid. So Randy, if you're listening, I'm an adult, man. So don't be trying to pick on me. I'm a grown-up. Sorry, I said to put that out there. Anyway, the first match of the night was Dave Sagan versus Malakko. How much do you love Malakko, man? Because you've seen Malakko work a lot.
Oh, yeah, Malakko, back in my days of the other organization that he used to work for, Malakko was one of those people. He grabs you, and it's not just because how he's dressed, because I've seen clown gimmicks before.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I've seen clown gimmicks before, and I usually ignore them. He has a presence to him, you know?
Right.
It's just like... he demands you look at him, and he's one of those people that, and I don't try not to use this, but he stays in character.
Right.
He doesn't drop that character the whole time. I mean, and that's, it's amazing. It brings you in. I've heard him say he's kind of like a clown Bray Wyatt, but I think he does Bray Wyatt better than Bray Wyatt does Bray Wyatt sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes when I see Bray Wyatt, I see Malakko. Malakko is so Malakko that when I see Bray Wyatt, I sometimes get the impression like he's doing a Malakko. Like, Malakko's not doing a Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt's doing a Malakko. You know what I mean? Like,
and their characters are really unique in the laugh. The laugh, I think, is only second to Million Dollar Man as far as wrestling laughs. And he has this presence.
That is a good one. Million Dollar Man, that's a good one.
He has this presence and this control of the audience that he has. And, you know, I don't like, you know, he's kind of a crazy clown. And I don't think people cheer him because, you know, he's a crazy clown. People cheer him because he demands the presence. You can tell, and this is not an insult to anyone else, but you can tell his presentation is a step above everyone else's.
Oh, yeah, man. The Magnificent Malakko, man. And, you know, in all seriousness, you know, me and Malakko have grown close over the last year to 18 months that I've been fortunate enough to work in the business, and I've seen him grow as a performer. And I've said it on this show. If I've said it once, I've said it five times. He's one of the best wrestlers to come out of the state of Oklahoma, and I've been told by three different promoters, God's honest truth, that he is the most sought after wrestler coming out of Oklahoma, and that's a true story. Like, you know, I don't like using, you know, like the word character, like you were talking about, like staying in character and stuff, but just his whole persona and himself, he's just so captivating. Like you said, like he demands your attention. It's just absolutely phenomenal, man. And
yeah, if I was on the book at like ROH or Impact and I'm looking for some new talent that I could be known for bringing in, like you want to be like, ROH discovered this talent, Impact discovered this talent, whoever it is, Malakko is someone just, you know, on my limited view of wrestling, Malakko would be somebody I would bring in because you can do the presentation, you can do the character, and it's just like, he would be over. I mean, he could suck in the ring. He doesn't. He doesn't at all. But he could suck in the ring, and his presentation is so amazing that you wouldn't care.
Right, right. Yeah, that is true. That is true. It's like, how do I want to word that? Like, his character and his presence is so awesome. If there was a dip, if there was a dip in his in-ring work, it would be easily forgiven because of how awesome his character work is. But there is no dip in it. Like, he's just as phenomenal in the ring as he is on the microphone. It's absolutely awesome, man. And to go...
When you get in the ring and he's like, he's the way he's shaped, you wouldn't think he can do what he can do, but he's doing planches and he works a very athletic style, and it's just, yeah.
It's awesome.
He's really good.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And to move on to his opponent, Dave Sagan, he's part of the Impact Players, which is a three-man faction, a three-man stable that wrestles all around the DFW area. I think they go down south, like, toward San Antonio and Houston, and then I think they work some in Oklahoma as well. To be honest, I don't know where them three are from, but it's Tommy Becker, Ryan Remington, and Dave Sagan. And Dave Sagan.
Hell Sagan.
Yes, Hell Sagan. You've seen him on Facebook and stuff. You've probably seen him live before. I don't know. But I've got to, I think this is the third time I've got to work with Dave, and this particular time, me and him got to spend, not much, we probably spent about 15 or 20 minutes talking backstage, and I was just telling him, you know, we were talking, and I was like, yeah, I kind of got into it late, you know, and I was telling him I didn't start training until I was 29, and Dave said, dude, I didn't start training until I was 28, and I've just turned, he told me that he had just turned 30, and he's had a year in the ring and stuff. And dude, Dave, talking to Dave, he's so down to earth. He's so such a natural in the ring that I've seen just working with him the last few months, and then getting to have that personal conversation with him, and him telling me that we're right at the same age. Dude, it was so motivating to me to know that I'm not the only one that started late in wrestling. You know what I mean? Like there's a very walkable path for someone that's my age that's just getting into wrestling, if that makes sense, the right analogy that I should use right there. But yeah, and dude, there was a spot where Dave had, I'm not going to talk about, you know, who went over, who won each match and stuff, because the matches haven't aired or anything, so we're not going to talk specifics, but we just wanted to talk, about the wrestlers and stuff. But did you see the spot where Dave had Malico in a crossface, and Malico was trying to get out of it, and then all of a sudden his eyes rolled in the back of his head and he just starts laughing? And you talked about that laugh that's only second to the Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase. Malico just starts laughing and yelling, "Come on, Dave, keep doing it, keep doing it." And
yeah,
Dave,
pull harder. Pull
yeah, he,
harder.
He pulled. Oh, yeah, that's what he said. He pulled harder, and so Dave like freaks out. Let's go of him and rolls out of the ring and then runs into Doc Hill, which is Malico's brother, who's like 6'4", 6'5". It was absolutely awesome, man. Those two guys, and including Doc Hill, so those three guys actually, just world-class performers, man. Just really awesome. If you haven't seen Malico, and if you haven't seen Dave Sagan and the other two Impact players, you are missing out. You've got to go see those guys.
Yeah, dude, I feel, and when I'll say that, if you haven't experienced Heroes of Wrestling and you like indie wrestling, you don't even gotta love indie wrestling. If you like indie wrestling, you need to experience Heroes of Wrestling. If you're in that Dallas, where we are mostly in the Oklahoma area, so if you're in that Dallas area, when you're within that 3-4 hour drive, I was 3.5, and it was worth the drive for me.
Absolutely, absolutely. Dude, the second match was Ryan Davidson versus Connor Crunk, and this was the second time that I get to meet Ryan Davidson. He is fresh off, I think he said, a 6-week tour of Japan, which I think is absolutely awesome. That's like my WrestleMania moment for me. Like I hope to one day be good enough in the ring that I could just have a tour of Japan with like, you know, a smaller promotion. That would complete my career for me, you know what I mean? But Ryan Davidson, he works for Reality of Wrestling. He's worked for, he actually worked Friday night in Compound and actually put on a tutorial for people that's never wrestled before that wanted to get in the ring and find out if it's something that they would want to do. So he put on a little tutorial for a handful of guys that showed up, and then he worked Friday night at Compound in Tulsa, Oklahoma. But he is fresh off of, like I said, a 6-week tour of Japan, and then a guy that he helped train, a guy by the name of Connor Crunk, they went one-on-one, and they had, there wasn't a storyline or build-up, it was just, you know, teacher versus student, and they went head-to-head, and it was a phenomenal match, man. Did you like that match?
Yeah, I thought that match was well worked, and that's what I was talking about. I didn't know who either one of those two guys were. I don't think I'd ever seen either one of them work. And, you know, it takes you – it's like a match. If you got filled in, but once they started getting hot, you're like, oh, okay, these guys can move. Oh, okay. Well, that guy is, you know, angry at that guy, or, you know, you can suss out the story, and I thought they put on a really good match.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I didn't even, to be honest, I didn't even know that it was teacher versus student until Wilt mentioned it on commentary at the beginning of the match. But I really liked how they showed each other the respect at the beginning of the match. They shook hands, and then at the end of the match, no matter who the winner was, they raised each other's hands, they hugged it out and stuff. It was really cool. It was just, it was like a almost like a World of Sport match where, you know, there wasn't, there, no storyline was needed. It was just two world-class athletes going head-to-head, and it was really cool. And I actually got to talk to Ryan Davidson backstage about his career and stuff. He's actually been on the Spies and the Benchmark show, which is Chris Spiezik. He's actually been on our show before. And he is, he has a show with a wrestler from Houston named Silky, and they do a YouTube show now where it's, they put out the audio on podcasts as well, but their show is mainly a video show on YouTube, and it's a real good show. Everyone should check it out. But Ryan had been on that show, and then, this was the second time I met Connor. And but anyway, the match was absolutely awesome, and that was followed by the last man standing match, which I thought was absolutely amazing. It was two guys that have wrestled, that have trained under Booker T down in Houston. It's Will Alday versus Brock Baker. And they've had a running storyline for like 4 months. And Brock has been attacking Will Alday and getting him from behind. He's had friends that's helped him attack Will. Will's the Lone Star Champion. The Heroes of Wrestling Lone Star Champion, which is like our equivalent, you know, for the people that have never checked out, have yet to check out Heroes of Wrestling, like the Lone Star Champion is like similar to the European title, the Intercontinental title, the U.S. title. But they had a last man standing match. Dude, they went everywhere in the venue. They went out to the pool tables, which is all the way, I think, to the, let's see, all the way to the west of the venue. They came up on stage. Brock Baker used me as a human shield at one point in time. Will Alday had to throw me out of the way. Dude, they took two hellacious bumps. Did you see him jump off the stage onto and into Brock Baker's, his goons came out there and helped him? And
yes, I saw that.
Those guys, man, I don't want to give too much away because we got to watch, everyone's got to watch the match. I couldn't put it over properly, you know, just talking about it. You've just got to see it. But
I mean, it went a good 35 minutes, right?
Yeah, it was a long match. And it was, dude, these two, I mean, it's, I can't put into words like how well I thought the match was worked, man. These two guys, and you know, I talked to Brock earlier in the day, and he's coming up on his 3-year anniversary of working. And Will, when the second month that me and him's worked together, I think 5 months now, and the second month that we worked together, I asked him, you know, how long he's been working. And he was about to wrestle his 22nd match. And that was just like 4 months ago. So I'm sure he's got less than 100 matches underneath his belt right now. And already working like a freaking world-class athlete. Like, it almost makes me...
He trained at Booker T's school too?
Yeah, he trained at Booker T's school as well. So obviously, you know, that mixed with... Having a great trainer mixed with being a world-class athlete like Will is, like, it shouldn't surprise anyone that he's already wrestling at that level with less than 100 matches in. You know what I mean? But it's just crazy to think, you know?
Yeah, and a big thing about it is that he's very much he's AJ Styles influenced. And that's awesome because it is a familiar work, right? A work style.
Right.
But he's really good. He moves really fast. He's always in the right position. I just, like I said, in the match, it was physical. There was the hate there. And I'm like not trying to give anything away as far as who wins. Right. It was just, I was just really impressed. They tore the house down. I'm like, I would give it a 4.5 stars anywhere.
Yeah, dude, that's really cool to hear because it was really awesome. One thing that, so Will Riggs, our owner and my commentary partner, was telling me and somebody else, I forgot who he was talking to, but he was talking about Will Alday. And he said the first night that Will ever worked for Heroes, he came out and was like, you know, did the whole, kind of looked like Chris Jericho in the WCW days where he's like, come on, baby, you know. And Will's explaining this, and he said Alday came out and the crowd was just dead. They were like, you know, hey, who's this guy, you know, like, cool, another wrestler. There was no applause or anything like that. And you fast forward now 5 months, this guy's put on 5 months of such awesome freaking matches, not just at Heroes, everywhere he goes, he puts on these phenomenal matches. Now when he comes out, he's like the most over guy in Heroes of Wrestling. Like, he's getting standing ovations coming out. Like, that he gets some loud pops, dude. Like, you know, it's just his, you know, like I said, him being such an awesome athlete, putting on great matches, and the guy's a great looking guy on top of that. Like, he has won this fan base over. You know what I mean? In a short amount of time, too.
Who was the entrance music? His entrance music was a real hip hop bass, and I really dug that.
Yeah, I need really to ask him. I need to ask him that because I loved his intro music too, and I can't think of who it was.
Because we kept saying all day, all day, all day, and it was like, did somebody write it for him? But then it was just like, then at the end, I was like, oh, this is just a rap song that just really goes with his name.
I'm gonna have to ask him. I'll get back to you on that.
Sometimes you get lucky, man.
Right. Right. I think at this time there was intermission, and during intermission, I actually got to see Brent McKenzie. Brent McKenzie is a member of DTF that he is injured right now. He's got a knee injury, so he's going to be out for a little bit, and he's going to be making his comeback here pretty soon. I don't know how soon, but I love Brent. Brent's actually going to be on the show after the new year. I'm going to sit down with him. And I want to do like a career arc story on Brent McKenzie because, he's had a phenomenal career. I don't know how long he's been working, but I want to say over 10 years he's been in the business. So, can't wait to talk to Brent McKenzie, but I got to see him. That was really awesome getting to, shoot the shit with him for a little bit. After the intermission was the
match. I was going to say, at intermission, there was a tag team that worked early in the night. I don't know if it was a pre-shoot show, but it was Zach Mason and Warren Johnson. They're from
From Booker T's school. Yeah, I forgot to mention that match. Yeah.
Yeah, I got to meet them, sign their autographs. They work really well together. I just wanted to make sure their names got out there.
Yeah, dude, I didn't have that in my notes, did I, that I sent that to you? Yeah, I forgot that was...
I didn't notice that it wasn't on there until I got home, and their 8x10's, like, sitting next to me. That's why I remember.
Oh, you got an 8x10? Dude, I'm so glad to hear that, dude. Yeah, they're Fly Deaf. They're from Heroes of Wrestling. It's... Zach Mason, a.k.a. Zach Zilla, and Warren Johnson, a.k.a. Warren J. And they took on the other two members of the Impact Players that I referenced earlier with Dave Sagan, was Ryan Remington and Tommy Becker. And, dude, this is the third match I've watched them two go head-to-head. And, dude, these two teams, they have chemistry, do they not?
Yeah, it was a very good tag team. I saw this was – it wasn't like – it was, you could tell there was a basic, you know, that a tag team wrestling, like, they were taught really well to tag team wrestle because, of course, they were trained by Booker T. I did not know this. Let me tell you, when they came out, I did not know anything about them. I did not know their names. I did not know what school they went to.
Right.
I'm sitting with Ryan, and I say, man, just how they move and how they team up, they remind me of Harlem Heat. They work like that kind of style. And Ryan was like, yeah, I kind of see that. And then, you know, intermission, they're like, yeah, we go to Booker T school. And I'm like, okay, it makes sense now.
That's awesome, dude. That is really awesome that that you were able to see Harlem Heat in these two guys. And it does, like... Anytime they're wrestling, I always put over that they are like the perfect combination of speed and power, with Warren J being he's muscular, but he is...
Yeah, his abs are ridiculous.
Yeah, I know, right? It looks like washboard abs, like he probably does his laundry on his abs, you know? But yeah. I don't want to say skinny because he's muscular, but he's like a smaller frame.
The smaller one of the team.
Right. And then you have, yeah. And then you have
Booker T.
Yeah, exactly. And then you got, you know, Zach Zilla, who is extremely muscular, like probably 240 pounds. I don't know how tall he is, but I mean, just extremely muscular.
He straight looks like a linebacker. He looks like he's starting a linebacker.
Right. Right. Yeah, and they worked absolutely great together. And then Ryan Remington and Tommy Becker, it's really funny seeing them because they are, like, they're at, like, legit friends. Them two and Dave Sagan, I get to spend time with them backstage a lot. And they're hilarious when they come out. Ryan Remington is always wearing a cheap pair of, like, white sunglasses. And they have everyone be quiet, and they get Mitch McCoy our ring announcer on the mic, and he's like, and then they like take the glasses off, and everyone's like, yay! And like you when they do all this, you're like, oh, they're like they have like a comedy shtick, and dude, they are phenomenal in the ring. Like, you know, usually it's not every day that you see that perfect combination of like with comedy and phenomenal wrestling, and they're like the perfect combination, man. And we're supposed to have Heroes sometime in 2019 are going to unveil the tag team championships, and I would put money on one of these two teams or this feud right here possibly deciding the tag team championships, because these are the two of the best tag teams in the state of Texas. They're just absolutely phenomenal. And the fact that both teams have only been wrestling for less than 2 years. That's freaking awesome, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I asked them how long they've been teaming up. They said a year and a half. And I was like, dude, just keep it up. I can see a bright future. And it's just like they're working every weekend. I got to learn a little bit more about them because they're friends with my friend that actually goes to school. They actually rode up together with her. And it was just like, so I got to, you know, ask a few more questions. And yeah, it's just like, I just think they have, you know, if, you know, everything goes right, because wrestling's a lot about luck, they got a bright future ahead of them.
Yeah, I totally agree, man. I totally agree. I'd like to have all of them on the show one day as well. And we're going to talk about your friend here in a little bit, too, whenever we get to her match. After intermission was the match that a lot of people wanted to see. A lot of people have been talking about for a while, and it was Dirty Andy Dalton versus Brian Pillman Jr., the Loose Cannon, Flying Brian. We've talked about Flying Brian a bunch on the show because we got to meet and hang out with him in Chicago before. I get to work with Andy Dalton every month. Andy Dalton is the guy that I've talked about on here before that I had mad respect for Andy because, you know, his reputation is that he's a phenomenal wrestler. I'd seen him work. I had mad respect for him. And I didn't think that I could have any more respect for him until I seen this 15-minute, like, short video/documentary on him and the buildup between him and Sami Callihan and the match that they had, I think, at Pro Wrestling Revolver, if I'm not mistaken, in San Antonio. And they just had a killer match. My son's probably watched the video like 10 times. But yeah, so Dirty Andy Dalton versus Brian Pillman. What'd you think of that match?
Dude, I thought it was an excellent match. I thought Brian Pillman Jr., I think he is coming into his own. He's still kind of developing what his character is. And I've seen his character on MLW. It's more defined on there because he is a clear heel on that show. And I think in this show, he really didn't know exactly if he was the heel or the face, and he was trying to get the people to get into the match. But once the match got going, the in-ring work, you just saw the talent. You just saw every move look snug, everything looked like hard hitting. It really sucked you into what they were doing. And they, and like, for a lot of time they weren't doing a lot of stuff fancy, but they really sucked you in with how they were doing it, how they were executing everything.
Yeah, absolutely. To put it flatly, like, Andy Dalton in my eyes is like the king of ring psychology. The guy's been doing it for such a long time at such a high level. Like, he knows how to reel the fans in. He can get those fans so quick to love him or absolutely hate him. And I've seen him come out to basically a standing ovation and have those fans turn against him in a matter of minutes. Like, the dude's just, he's a professional. And I got to, you know, I was talking to Pillman backstage, and December 31st will mark 1 year. He hasn't even been wrestling a full year yet. So for him,
he was hurt part of the year.
Yeah, true. Yeah. So for him to progress so quickly, that just shows how much talent he has. Just think how good he's going to be, how awesome he's going to be wrestling come 5 years from now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I actually have the Matt Sydal Brian Pillman Jr. match that I did commentary on, and me and Pillman actually exchanged numbers because he wanted to get that match from me. So And then I got to talk to Pillman about doing some stuff together in the future, and he was all about it. He's really a cool guy. And I actually got to talk to, you know, I always get to pick Andy's brain about stuff that I'm learning in the academy and stuff, and him and I are going to try to get together in either January or February, and he's going to help me with some of the stuff that I'm doing in ring. He's going to get to the venue early, so Andy's always down to help some of the younger guys, you know, like myself. And so it's really awesome to get to work with Andy as well. So after the Andy Dalton, Brian Pillman Jr. match, we had the Women's Battle Royal, which was a 10-person Battle Royal. And your friend, if you want to tell us a little bit about her, her name is Jenna Lynn, right? This was the first time I got to meet her.
Yes, Jenna Lynn. Her name's Jennifer. I actually met her at on WrestleMania weekend in New Orleans, and I was going, like, I just had it on Facebook. I didn't even know she had a Facebook. I was just going through some of her pictures, and dude, we've been at all the same places. So she went from hardcore wrestling fan, like extreme wrestling fan like me, to wrestler a little over, I think she's right at a year. I think she was at 6 months when I met her in April, so she'd be a little over a year. And, you know, you look at her, and she's 5 foot. She's, you know, kind of quiet, like, very unassuming girl. And I saw her work. Yeah, and, you know, Thunder Rosa was in this match. Thunder Rosa is fantastic. I just need to put that over.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Thunder Rosa, most people will know Thunder Rosa from Lucha Underground.
Yeah, her name was Cobra Moon on Lucha Underground.
Yeah.
Don't know why she's not in someone's women division. I don't know why she's not in ROH. I don't know why she's not in Impact. I don't know why she's not on TV somewhere. She is phenomenal, and it's just like, you know, they're doing the Battle Royal, and, you know, everybody, of course, after they're doing it Royal Rumble style, so it's like the first two people get in there, and then they come in every minute, I say.
Every 90 seconds
every 90 seconds.
Yeah, I think it was kind of like, you know how the Royal Rumble is supposed to be every 3 minutes, but sometimes it seems like it's 10 minutes, and sometimes it seems like it's 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I think we just kind of eyeballed it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so we get, when Jade comes out and she gets her high spots, and like I said, I'm not going anywhere near the road. I just saw how fast and how crisp and how good she was, and it literally is unexpected. And it's like one of those things. I mean, like, immediately after seeing her, I was like, dude, if I'm ever booking a wrestling show, what I would do with her is I'd put her in the first row, right? And I'd have my woman's champion call out one of the audience members, and she'd go in there, and then you'd find out, you know, she can go, you know?
That's awesome.
Because she's very unassuming like that. When you see her, I don't mean, you were in the announce table, how fast she was.
Oh, yeah, dude. And her screams on top of that, where she's like, it was awesome.
Yeah, and I was like, I didn't see that coming. Like, literally, when I say I've seen a clip with her and Jordynne Grace. I mean, Booker T was like, yeah, we're doing this little 3-minute match. And it was on Pro Wrestling Sheet. And that was all I've ever seen her work. And so I saw her, and of course, it's in a Battle Royal situation. It's not one-on-one. She comes in and gets her stuff, and I was just very impressed with what I saw, because like I said, a lot of it had to come from me talking to her. She is very unassuming. She's very humble. She's very quiet. Then she got in the ring, and it was just like, which one's the real her? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, dude.
And it was just like that wild talent came out. I just, like, I didn't see it. And I'm like, I'm really not trying to over put her over or something. But just think, if you had your friend that you talked to and you talked about wrestling, and you think you kind of get the person, you're like, oh, it's cute that you want to be a wrestler. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was
kind
of, yeah, and that's how it was. It was almost, I can even say I was almost patronizing her when she would talk about wanting to be a wrestler. Like, oh, that's cute.
Because she's so small and unassuming, right?
Yes, and then, you know, you used to wrestlers being big personalities, you know, that kind of thing. And then she goes in there and goes, and you're like, oh, and excuse the language, oh, fuck, she can work.
Yeah, dude, that was the first time, you know, I didn't have any preconceived notions about her because I had met her, you know, the pro wrestling etiquette. You shake everyone's hand whenever you get there, and she got there. I got there real early because I set everything up on commentary and stuff. And when her and Zach Zill and Warren J came through, you know, I shook each one of their hands and I got to meet her for the first time. And so I had no preconceived notions about her one way or the other. I see her come out. She hits the ring like a bat out of hell. And dude, she's like her scream when she was like, whoa, it scared me, dude. I was like, what is going on here, dude?
Yeah. She was right in there, man. I was like, okay.
Yeah, it was cool. It was my first time getting to see Alabama. She was in the women's battle royals. My first time getting to see her work. I jumped out of my seat when I seen Lizzie Thorne throw her first lariat, because I had heard about the Lizzie Lariat before. And Lizzie Thorne was another female performer in the battle royal. And she's
like 6 foot tall, right?
Yeah, she's tall, dude. And when she hit that lariat, I like jumped out of the seat. I was like, woo, that's who's winning right there, you know? Killa Kate, I got to talk to Killa Kate earlier, and I had just followed her on Instagram. She cut this awesome promo after she won a title in a promotion in the Dallas area. And I was like, oh, dude, this girl is going places. So it was really awesome to see Killa Kate working for the first time. And then Lacey Ryan. When Lacey Ryan showed up at the venue earlier in the day, I was standing on the apron getting some advice from Malico and Chandler Hopkins. And she came by to shake my hand, and she was on the ground, and she grabbed my ankle. And I swear to God, I thought I was going to have a heart attack because I didn't see her walk up. And she grabbed my ankle to kind of scare me. And I was like, oh, my God, Lacey. I thought she about killed me. But Lacey, I think, is one of the best female wrestlers in the state of Texas. I absolutely love her. I need to find – I seen this where she did her – she's from Salt Lake City, Utah. And she wrestled for a promotion over there. And I seen where she had shared this match where she did a comeback match over there. And dude, she had like a standing ovation. Like the crowd did not forget who she was. And that really goes to show how great of a performer she is. So definitely I need to share that. Machiko. Machiko was in the match too. She's the only female member of DTF. Her and I got to talk backstage. And her and I both randomly have 5 cats apiece. So me and Machiko are cats. Our old cat women together. So I thought that was pretty cool. I had to mention that as well.
It's kind of funny. I was putting over how much I hate cats today.
Dude, me and Machiko, we got to give you a fucking Kenny, judo chop. Bah!
Kenny Omega put out his new Elite shirt, and it's a calico cat.
Yes.
And it's a cat, and the cat is, it's half cat, half robot. Right? Yeah, and I was like, I fucking hate cats, but I'm going to wear that shirt.
That's awesome. I'm going to have to get one, too.
And just a little side note. So I was talking to Ryan on the way back, and I was like, oh, they're going to do all – they're doing a package of all the 5 elite shirts.
Right.
And I was just like, let me tell you, Pro Wrestling Tees has this horrible thing. I think they think it's funny. They love to put out shirts at the worst times. They like to put them out on a Tuesday afternoon when I don't get paid on Friday. I was like, I guarantee you they're gonna put this these shirts out, like this bundle that you can get. I was like, it's gonna be like 2 days before Christmas where everybody's broke, right?
Right.
They announced it yesterday. They're releasing it on Christmas.
On Christmas Day? Who's going to order it on Christmas?
Dude, a whole bunch of hardcore Elite fans, but not this boy. I'm just going to wait. I get paid at the end of the month. I'll wait until I get paid. It's just like, dude. I was writing the thing. I was like, they're going to release it on the worst day possible.
Yeah. I want to go see the movie Vice that's Christian Bale is playing former Vice President Dick Cheney. And it comes out on Christmas. I'm going to see if my wife will let me go, if me and her can go to that on Christmas. It'd be awesome.
Yeah, we have to get a lot of good movies coming out in the next week.
For sure. The last match of the night was I can't even talk here, which was the main event, and it was for the HOW Championship, and the champion Bam Bam Malone of DTF fame. And if I haven't mentioned it, DTF is a stable featuring Andy Dalton, Bam Bam Malone, Scott McKenzie, Brent McKenzie, and Machiko, and it stands for Down to Fight. So anybody that is not familiar with the promotion, it's kind of a play on words, so, you know, because most of us know what DTF usually stands for, but these five members have come up with a new expression for the letters DTF, and I absolutely love it. But it's five awesome performers. But anyway, Bam Bam Malone, the champion, taking on Chandler Hopkins. It's had a wonderful buildup. Wonderful is actually understated. It was a phenomenal buildup over the past few months. But what did you think of the match? Because see, you don't know the full buildup. Like, you know, you were in the crowd. How was it like with very little buildup and very very little knowledge of the storyline? Was the match still awesome?
Dude, you could tell they did a great job even on the entrances of letting you know that this was not a one fight. We just got a problem. No, this was like hate. They're like shooting each other dirty looks. Like, although, you know, Chandler comes out first, I believe. And he comes out to Kid Rock's Cowboy, and he's doing his entrance and stuff. But that immediately when Bam Bam Malone's music hit, like when he steps through the curtain, he never takes his eyes off Chandler Hopkins.
Yeah, true story.
Like he's staring a bird like a hole in him. And then they bring him in there and they do the announcement. And then, you know, Chandler, you know, he's the young gun. He was the truth back in the day. He, you know, he's the cowboy type guy. He's always the good guy. He's the white hat cowboy. And immediately when the match starts, you know, he sets a tone. I'm not going to say what happens, but he sets a tone. And it's the tone of the match.
Yeah, and it was unexpected, you know, everything that went on because... You know, like I said earlier, Chandler Hopkins and Will Alday, they're the two of the biggest baby faces, you know, in Heroes of Wrestling. And they're Will Alday and Chandler, they kind of make me sick because they're so good looking and they know it. You know it? They're so good looking. They could use some scars on their faces or something. So the women will kind of give the rest of us some looks every once in a while. You know what I'm saying?
So, you remember
that Chandler Hopkins and Will Alday. Share some of that good looks, damn it. No, but anyway, yeah, the match, the tone of the match was set quickly, wasn't it?
Yeah, and they're so, you know, they were so good. And because Bam is like so much taller, right? And then you had, it gave a nice contrast in the work style. And I just thought through the match, it was like, you know, Bam would hit a move and it just seemed like it meant more because he was bigger, and then Chandler had to hit a few moves to get him down, and it was the back and forth action. I mean, I was in it, you know, you had the cage there, and it's just like, dude, it was good.
Yeah, it was absolutely awesome, man. Yeah, and Bam Bam Malone, Chandler Hopkins, two phenomenal workers. And I can guarantee you that's not going to be the last we're going to see of those two guys. They're so good together that there's no way that they can't wrestle again in the future. Just, you know what I mean? They have so much chemistry. It would be a shame, you know, for them not to get in the same ring again. But we are closing in on our time limit for today. So my man Floyd Johnston Jr., real quick, tell us where you spend your weekends at, brother.
Dude, when I am in town, you can definitely catch me on the chair shot on Around the Ring, okay? If you get to hear us this week, you'll probably hear more about the show. I've been putting it over to everybody I can. Not, and like I said, it's not just because of my friends. I genuinely had a good time. So you can go Twitter, Facebook, it's Around the Ring, okay? And if you want to email us, it's aroundtheringok@gmail.com.
Absolutely, and I just got to say, Floyd, I appreciate it so much, man. Like I said, we've been doing this show together every single day, 5 days a week for over 6 months now. And I just wanted to say thank you so much. Like I said, I've had, you know, a few issues. I've been kind of down and out the past week, and you've been there every single day. You know, I've talked to you almost every single day, and you've been so uplifting and so just so awesome and such a good friend, man. And I truly appreciate it. And thank you for doing this review show with me. And thank you to the 3,000 plus that listen every single day, Monday through Friday. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. Thank y'all for all the messages, making sure that we were okay. If you have any questions about Heroes of Wrestling, or y'all want to go to a Heroes of Wrestling show in the near future, you can find them on Facebook at Heroes of Wrestling. They're on Instagram and Twitter. You can also write in, me or Floyd or Marvelous Mike, and we'll give you the information if you cannot find it on one of those social media outlets. And that is it for us today. Find us each and every weekday morning by 10 a.m. on thechairshot.com. For Floyd and myself, everyone out there, stay strong and too sweet.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do?